Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine for this Thursday, August 1st, 2024. I have your host, James J. Maloff here, and welcoming into the studio our great friend, UW-Madison Extension Wood County's Anna Mitchell, natural resource educator. Anna, always good to see you.
Yeah, always good to see you too, James.
We have a great time when we get together. We always get a good conversation in and inform the audience while having some fun. And the topics you touch on are always timely. And we're going to go with algae today.
Which is very timely.
Very timely.
Been on some of the lakes here in central Wisconsin, Peatonwell, Castle Rock, some of the tri-lakes.
You know,
very timely.
Absolutely. But with that, algae is one of those words that people hear it, and I think they make assumptions right away.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think you hear algae and immediately you go, oh, that's bad. But before we get started, I just want to make it very clear that not every algae is harmful, and that true algae, like green algae, are a natural and important part of our aquatic ecosystems. True algae are known as primary producers in our food webs, which means that they can convert sunlight and inorganic chemicals into usable energy for other living organisms, and they're also a very vital part in our food webs themselves. So most algae are very microscopic. You can't really see them, and they serve as a main supply of high energy food for larger organisms like zooplankton. And then the zooplankton are eaten by smaller fish are eaten by larger fish are eaten by mammals, etc. It goes on in the food web. So our true algae, the not bad algae, mm-hmm. are very important in our aquatic ecosystems.
Yeah, which is integral to all of this. And I appreciate the breakdown of that. I have to say, it reminds me a little bit of learning about like fats and how we were told so long every fat is bad. And then we start learning more and more that, oh, well, yeah. there are certain fats that are actually good for the right. body, good for the brain and some of that. Right. It's a very similar thing.
Yeah. Yep.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say some algae species, the ones that we kind of tend to think of as those bad ones, even the good ones sometimes, they can produce excessive biomass, which is the biomass when we see it, it's called a bloom, right? That's the green mats that you see. If you have like a pool outside for your dog and you see that mat of green on it, that might be what we call a bloom. And that sometimes, depending on the species of algae, can lead to harmful impacts to the environment, like low to no oxygen or even acidification of water. Sometimes it impacts human communities. We'll get into a species of algae mm-hmm. that kind of impacts us here. And then sometimes the conditions can lead to poor taste in the water. Sometimes an odor that is unbearable. Mm. And obviously that can affect recreation, tourism, and sometimes even drinking water, which is not common around here because we get a majority of our drinking water from underground, from the groundwater.
I imagine they are or know that they are dealing with a little bit of this in the Olympics right now in Paris with some of the triathletes and everything going into the water and them checking it and everything. Like there's a lot of interesting stuff going around throughout the world when it comes to this topic.
Right.
But today we're gonna focus on some common freshwater HAB.
Yep. And when you say HAB, what we're referring to are harmful algal blooms. So algal growths that lead to impacts on human health and the environment are referred to as harmful algal blooms. Those are those HABs. And we're going to focus on one very common HAB in our area, HAB, and that's blue-green algae.
Okay. Now, I'm sure that, I know what blue-green algae is,
yeah.
but you know, just in case the audience doesn't know, I don't know, actually. I don't know. What are blue-green algae?
Yep. So blue-green algae are a group of photosynthetic bacteria that are most found or that are most often blue-green in color. They can vary to all blue, all green, reddish purple, or even brown. There are many different species of blue-green algae. Around here, we see a lot of the green blue-green algae and sometimes even the blue if it's a pretty bad bloom. So if you're out on water and you look into the water and it looks like there's just this it looks like pea soup. That's the best way I can describe it. That's probably blue-green algae. Pea soup, just thick, yucky. Sometimes when it gets that blue in it, it looks like maybe a little bit of a oil stain of blue in that thick mat of green. It's like a scum.
Okay.
Pretty gross.
Yeah. When it comes to like the certain environmental conditions, can this grow quickly?
Yeah. Yep. So blue-green algae generally grows in lakes, ponds, and slow-moving streams when the water is warm and enriched with extra nutrients like phosphorus and nitrogen. So when environmental conditions are just right, those algae can grow very quickly in numbers. They just start to multiply really quickly, which is what causes a bloom. So most species are buoyant, which means that they'll float to the surface where they form that scum layer, which is what we see, or floating mats even sometimes. And when this happens, obviously, we have a blue-green algae bloom. In Wisconsin, blue-green algae blooms generally occur between mid-June and late September. So kind of we're smack in the middle of it.
Timely.
Yeah. Although in rare instances, we have seen some blooms in winter under the ice, which is really not common.
Yeah, that sounds fascinating, actually. That's really interesting.
Yep. And at this point, you might be thinking to yourself, well, how does blue-green algae differ from true algae? So cyanobacteria, which is the blue-green algae, and green algae, which is true algae, blooms are often confused since both can produce a dense surface and water column growth that can impede on our recreation, like it just doesn't look pleasant. And blue-green algae are generally not eaten by aquatic organisms like true algae are. Yeah,
that's interesting. Okay, yep. So that kind of messes up that food web we were talking about.
Yeah, huh. Yep. So if you have blue-green algae that's really dominant, it's not a food source.
Yeah.
Not like true algae is. However, unlike cyanobacteria, which is that blue-green algae, green algae are not generally known to produce those toxins, which can be really harmful. And those toxins are known as cyanotoxins, which actually can lead to a lot of health risks in humans and even animals. So that cyanobacteria, blue-green algae, can produce cyanotoxins that are really impactful to us.
It sounds like it. So how do blue-green algae blooms even occur?
So under the right conditions, blue-green algae can multiply very rapidly into a bloom, and I think I just said that a little while ago. But the potential for blooms comes down to nutrient loads, which is the amount of nutrients like phosphorus and nitrogen that are in our water. So in abundance, those nutrients can be a real big problem. They occur naturally in our waters, but when they're over what their limit should be, it can cause a blue-green algae bloom. The elements enter the waterway, so the elements I'm talking about are that nitrogen and phosphorus. Those enter the waterways from point source pollution, so that can be industrial or wastewater treatment plants and discharges, non-point sources like septic tanks that, you know, are not functioning properly and are seeping, stormwater runoff from urban areas, farms, and residential areas too. So, and when the conditions are just right for nitrogen and phosphorus in the water, and we have an increased temperature, the sunlight conditions and flow are just right, that triggers a bloom. It's those blooms normally occur in Wisconsin when we've got those warm, calm, sunny weather and the temperatures are higher than 75 degrees. The water temperature is higher than 75 degrees. So I think with the weather we've been having now,
it's a perfect storm for it. Yeah.
Yep.
What are the effects of blue-green algae blooms? You touched on this a little bit, but a little more detail if you wouldn't mind.
Yeah. And I just want to focus on the effects because, you know, I don't think a lot of people know that it can be as harmful as what it is. So if you're going to pay attention to one thing, it should be this.
You know, very similar to when we've talked about lawns and some of that. People notice when their lawn doesn't look the way they want it to. Very similar to, you know, your water or wherever you're taking it in and stuff. But how this happens, what it is doing, it's not just that it doesn't look that pretty or it's not that presentable. There's more to it than that. Yeah, so it's a great note to go to.
Much more. Yeah. People can become sick if they swallow, have skin in contact with or breathe in airborne water droplets while swimming, boating, water skiing, tubing, any kind of outdoor activity in the water that has harmful algae, like our blue-green algae. So when someone becomes sick from exposure, they may experience vomiting, diarrhea, rash, eye irritation, cough, sore throat, and a headache. Symptoms generally start to occur within an hour to 2 days after exposure.
Dang, that's a bad time.
And that's in adults. In kids, it's even worse.
Ooh, yes. Yeah, I can imagine.
another important thing to touch on is our pets, like especially dogs. They're really susceptible to exposure to blue-green algae because they're relatively small and tend to swallow a lot more water when they're playing in it. And then when they're in the water, what do they do when they come out? They lick their coats and they're just exposed to it. Symptoms for dogs are very similar to those in humans: vomiting, weakness, difficulty breathing, seizures, and in the worst case, death. Like I have known a couple of people in this area whose pets have died from exposure to blue-green algae. So it's really not something that we want to play around with.
Yeah. Yeah. And whether it is our children or our furry friends, these are things that we, it's our job to protect.
Yeah.
And being aware of these things is sometimes just as important as how you handle them and how you fix them, or however you would like to word it.
Yeah.
I really cannot thank you enough for this topic today, Anna. We're speaking with Anna Mitchell, natural resource educator with UW-Madison Extension Wood County. What can you do to avoid exposure with this, Anna?
Yeah, I would say my number one rule is, if you're questioning the water at all, if it looks off to you, if it looks like pea soup, if there's this green film on top of it that is a lime green, any off color, just don't go in it.
Yeah.
Don't go in it. I used to monitor beaches in my old job for blue-green algae, and sometimes I would just sit there and shake my head at the people who were swimming in blue-green algae. And I'm like, how do I approach this politely? Yeah. You know, and say, hey, come on.
I had the same feeling as a kid growing up in Chicago and seeing people going to Lake Michigan. Yes. It's like, what are you doing?
But I guess you don't know what you don't know. And that's why I'm here right now. So number one rule, like I said, if you're questioning it, just stay out. Keep yourself out. Keep your pets out.
Trust your gut so you can protect your gut.
Yeah, that is very good, James. Yep. So avoid or just minimize recreating waters that appear that they might have blue-green algal blooms. If you come in contact with it, make sure you wash yourself off with fresh water right away. Yep. And monitor yourself for any of those symptoms, right? Obviously, don't let your animals drink or swim in the water. If they go in it and you catch them in it, do the same thing. Rinse them off. Make sure they're you're trying your best not to let them lick their coat. Like, that's hard.
Yeah.
But just try your best. Mm-hmm. And then if you do come in contact with blue-green algae, if you think you're experiencing symptoms related to exposure, like I had mentioned, contact your doctor or even the Wisconsin Poison Center right away. They'll give you guidelines on how to treat it, what to look for, how to continue monitoring it. Just let a health professional know. And then obviously if your pet displays symptoms like seizures, any of those major ones, vomiting, diarrhea after going into water that looks suspect, make sure to call your vet as soon as possible,
which is very helpful to know. Oftentimes we almost forget that it can be similar rules for us as our animals.
Yeah.
And when our animal is hurting or our child is hurting, a lot of rational thought goes out the window. So it really does help having these things kind of in mind already as we, you know, and try to enjoy our summers and try to enjoy the water and all the great pathways we have around here and everything.
Yeah. And what do you want to do when the weather is like it is now? It's hot. It's humid. You want to go swimming. Sometimes just maybe look at the water before you go in. Do that little assessment before you go in. And then if you or anybody you know or your pet even is exposed and becomes ill from harmful algal blooms, you should also report the case to the Bureau of Environmental and Occupational Health or visit the Department of Health Services in our area. Lots to look out for, lots to keep in mind, but...
You know, Anna, just to piggyback on that question, that last comment you had there, if we do see these things, should we report this to the DNR? Should we report it to you? Is that also important to do?
You don't report it to me, but report it to DNR. If you go to DNR website, you can search on their website HABs or even blue-green algae, and then they have a tab on there that says report an algal bloom, report a harmful algal bloom. They have email you can email them at too. It's dnrhabs@wisconsin.gov. And you can let them know where that algal bloom is, etc. I would highly recommend you go to the website first, because they want you to include some information in that initial email.
All the more data they have, the better that it is for them.
And they're not they don't have the capacity just to continuously monitor every single lake during every day of the summer for harmful algal blooms, so we really rely on citizen support when it comes to things like this.
I forgive me if I have this wrong, but I think we even had a topic once where we talked about how much water we have in this state, how many lakes we have and everything. There's a lot to cover here. It takes, really all eyes to be able to do these things. We have a great DNR, wonderful people over at that program. Yeah. Shout out to them and the good work that they do. Our extension friends like you, Anna, doing such great work, but there's only so many eyeballs. Right. There's so many people.
Right.
It really helps out a long ways when you're able to give us this data and this information too. And I think too that one of the things that you've kind of touched on in this is really important as well, especially if you've been seeing this for your, any time of your life, and you've just kind of looked at it and said, well, that doesn't look right. I'm not going near that. But that's the end of the story for you. You can actually help with this. We can make an impact on this subject.
Oh, yeah, we can make an impact. And I said, talking about how those algal blooms form, right? We said excessive nutrients like phosphorus and nitrogen. If you live on a lake, it doesn't even matter if you live on a lake. If you're have a yard, or if you have a, a yard, just
do you have land?
Do you have land? Do you have a yard? Something like that. If you're using fertilizer for your grass, make sure that you are fertilizing when needed. Don't fertilize just because you want to and just because you think your grass needs it. Wait until you know your grass needs it, and then do it according to the rules from the manufacturer. Don't just go throw it on there.
Especially don't
fertilize your lawn right before it rains, because it does not have time to absorb, and then it just washes right into any water system that we have. It's really important. That point is to, if you live on a lake, I think in our minds we see a lake house and we see that gorgeous landscaping with that nice green yard, but just know what it takes to get that nice green yard is also affecting how green your lake is as well. So it's a give and take, right?
Right. And that burger you see in the commercial does not look like it does when you order it. Like, images in these things are a little bit overdone, I think. Yeah. They're a little oversold. The most beautiful lawns are the ones that are healthy and have a healthy surrounding area as well. And what you put into our land affects all of our land.
Yeah. Yeah. And the same goes for like urban areas and agriculture, right?
Yes.
That runoff gets into our lakes just as easily as the people that live right on lakes, right? It's just not maybe as a direct impact.
Properly maintaining stormwater systems seems like an important one too.
Yeah. If you just take the time to look at your stormwater systems at your house, clean your gutters out. Right? Clean your gutters out. Maybe you have a rain garden where water's pooling, helps it filter out. Septic tanks, make sure that they're up to date, not that they're not leaching. There's a lot of different things that we can do to help reduce non-point source pollution.
And this topic is too big for us not all to be. It's all hands on deck when it comes to this stuff. Mm-hmm. We need everybody, every community member, every person, whether you're a homeowner or not, whether you live in an apartment or you have a bunch of land that you live on. Everybody is important, and everybody's data is important on this one. And I do think too, and this is just me speaking here, but I think accountability is very important too. Having self-accountability, but certainly to our businesses out there as well, and making sure that, people are not putting into our land. People are not dumping things or any of this. I'm not saying that it's happening. I'm saying that we don't want it to happen. So let's keep an eye on the ball. Let's make sure of this. Let's hold ourselves and these companies accountable and make sure that we're keeping our land not only good for us, but for future generations, which is what this is all about.
Mm-hmm. Our land and water.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Anna, we've touched on some really great things today. One more time, I wouldn't... If you you wouldn't mind, if you see significant blue-green algae bloom, who should we contact? Who should we email?
Yep, you should email the DNR email address, dnrhabs@wisconsin.gov. The DNR website has further details on what should be included in that email. If you go to DNR website and then just search blue-green algae, there'll be a tab that says report a bloom.
And I imagine, too, for some, especially people like me that are visual learners, mm-hmm. maybe if you haven't seen this that much, you know, looking at the website there is going to be a real good reference for
yes.
you.
Yes. Just there's so many incredible websites that you can go to and resources. I mean, Minnesota DNR has great resources for algal blooms. Just if you don't know what it looks like, we all have a device in our pockets mm-hmm. where we can easily look it up.
We got these supercomputers we're walking around with.
Yeah.
We also want to encourage you to reach out. You know, the gang at UW Extension, not just Anna, but everybody over there has the same mission and really trying to do the same things, inform you. Mm-hmm. There are no bad questions.
No.
There is not any bad questions you could ask the UW team over there. So if you are curious about some of these things and some of those other resources just aren't really hitting it for you, mm-hmm. or you just want to talk to a person to ask these questions or find out more, I encourage you to reach out to Anna. Anna, if they want to do that, how can they?
Yep. Like James said, you can stop in and see us at the Wood County Courthouse, and then you can email me at anna.m.james@wisc.edu.
That name again. There,
I know.
you know, I just realized it's been way too long since I've been over there. I got to stop by over
you
there,
should.
Too. I got to say hi to everybody over there. I'll make them think, oh, wait a minute. Do I got an interview today? I'm going to stop on by. But Anna, you know how much we appreciate you and our community does and the work that you're doing here. Thank you so much. Keep up the great work. Enjoy your summer. We will talk again real soon.
Yep. Thank you so much, James.
And thank you all for joining us. Spread the word about our shows. And remember that you can find all of our shows and our previous shows at civicmedia.us. You can download the podcasts, spread them on your social media pages, and help us spread the word of the great work that we are doing around here. We greatly appreciate that. Again, civicmedia.us. We'll be back with more Midday Magazine coming up for you here at WFHR 97.5 FM, 1320 AM. We are locally grown radio.